The following views and opinions do not necessarily reflect those of this station, its staff, management, Franklin Communications, or parent company. To hear a replay of this show or one of the other great shows that previously aired, log on to columbustoday.com. Keyword, dentally speaking. Listeners should not use Dr. Kvitko's comments and advice in the place of receiving an actual dental exam.
Brighten your life with a smile that shows the professional touch of Dr. Kvitko.
Time now for Dentally Speaking with Dr. Brian Kvitko. Call 459-9769. That's 459-9769 to discuss your dental issues. Now, here's Dr. Kvitko.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko. Our show is also known as Everything You've Always Wanted to Know About Dentistry, but we're too numb to ask. Hello, I'm General Dentist Dr. Brian Kvitko, and thank you for joining me today here on Sunny 95. It's nice of you to tune in. Today we have a real treat for you. We have on the line with us an author, Charlene Wexler. She's written a book called Murder on Skid Row. We're going to bring her on here in just a minute. Before we do, actually, I'm going to give out today's question of the day, and I want you to pay attention because we're going to probably be giving the answer here more than once as the show goes by so that you can call in and win. And in this case, you're going to win a copy of Charlene's book. And we'll have to decide if we also want to give away the flowers that we normally give away. But for now, the person who wins the question of the day wins a copy of Murder on Skid Row, written by Charlene Wexler. And the question is, Murder on Skid Row takes place in what city? Is it A, New York City, B, Chicago, C, L.A., and D, Atlanta? And we'll ask the question later on, too, because I know sometimes people aren't paying attention or you're not even up yet. People wake up at various times on a Sunday morning. All right, now let me introduce our guest, Charlene Wexler. She is a native Chicagoan. She's a graduate of the University of Illinois. She's worked as a teacher, a dental office bookkeeper, and a wife, mom, and grandmother. Her lifelong passion for writing led her to create numerous essays as well as fiction. And she's written this book called Murder on Skid Row. And we'll give you a little bit more about Charlene as the show goes by. So Charlene, thank you so much for getting up. I know it's awful early in the Chicago area. How are you today?
Good morning, Doctor. I'm doing fine. A little tired watching the sun coming up.
Oh,
but
yeah.
I'm very happy to be on the show with you.
Hey, can you see the sun come up in Chicago? Because it's overcast here in Columbus.
Probably not. Actually.
Well, I'm sure being a mom and a grandmother and a writer, you've been up late night, you've been up early, because it takes a lot of work to put a book together, doesn't it?
Right, it does.
Now, you wrote a book about, and the book isn't about a dentist, but it's surrounded, rather the story surrounds a dentist, and it's, I guess it's from the dentist's point of view, which is pretty neat for me as a dentist. And when I found or saw that you are married to a dentist and your son is a dentist, and I think there's even an inkling in the book about another family member that might be a dentist, that I thought, well, that on one hand, that makes sense. On the other hand, I thought, why aren't dentists highlighted more often in Hollywood? Have you ever noticed that Hollywood and the press in general, when they're talking or writing about dentistry, the dentist is either a bumbling idiot or hurting somebody?
Right. We have, and I'm very familiar with that view because my husband's a collector of antique dental equipment, and we put in a lot of museum offices from like 1890 on, and I think we've gotten that image from the old foot drills where your teeth were drilled according, like a sewing machine, according to how fast the dentist could run the drill.
Could pump the pedal, yeah, the big pedal at the bottom.
Right.
Yeah, and that pounding sound.
Today, dentistry is so different, and that's part of my book. It kind of gives you a view of dentistry in the late 60s.
It does.
Compared to today.
And it shows the dentist as just a normal person who's trying to do a good job for his patients. And although this gentleman, I have to be careful. I don't want to give away the book or anything. It is a whodunit for those of you that are listening, and it's a good book. It's a quick read, but it definitely, I would not have guessed whodunit.
Okay.
But anyway, no, it just, it gives you an idea of, this dentist, and I guess it's is it based on your husband, or is it loosely based on your husband?
Probably loosely based on my husband. My husband actually was in a group that had offices throughout Chicago.
Oh, okay.
And they did open an office. It's based on a true story.
Oh, okay. So
they did open an office in the Skid Row area for about 4 months, and there was a murder in the area, and
wow.
We got out of there quickly.
Hey.
But that area right now in Chicago, in the 60s, it was kind of an area of hustlers, winos, addicts, bums, lost souls, war veterans from Vietnam. And it's an area that most Chicagoans wouldn't go near, and I'm sure every city has an area like that.
Yeah, now, I happen to notice, and I don't know if this was, like you said, it's based on truth, but I happen to notice, you know, the very first, in the prologue, it talks about the article or the headline in the April 1st, 1967 Chicago Tribune. That's April Fool's Day.
Right.
So did you realize that? I mean, I'm thinking, okay, there's something about that that maybe I'm going to find in later in the book. Did you realize it was April Fool's Day?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
I just sort of randomly picked that because I really, it made it into fiction, didn't want to have everything be correct.
Okay.
And I just sort of thought that, oh, that's a good date, you know, to just kind of play with. But it's interesting. I'm glad you're the first one that noticed that.
I'm the first one. Huh?
Right.
See, us dentists are very detail-oriented, aren't we?
Right, right. Very much so.
And then the book ends in the year 2012, and that kind of threw me, because I'm going, wait a minute, it's not 2012 yet. And I had to do a double take and think, okay, I get it. We're skipping to the future here. But anyway, so Getting back to the book and to dentistry and all that,
can I interrupt
sure.
you 1 second? I had to end it in the future because the main character's a dentist, his son becomes a dentist, and then his granddaughter becomes a dentist.
Right.
So I had to space it a little bit because it does take place in 1966 and 67.
Okay, so you had to just look at how many numbers of years will it take for somebody to grow up and go to dental school and have a child and grow up and go to dental school.
Right, right. So
okay.
I kind of spaced it more into the future.
Well, that's neat. That's neat. And there are lots of... Now, see, I have 4 children. None of them have become dentists. I didn't discourage or encourage them because it's a tough profession. But I do have a veterinarian as a child, and one of my children is a veterinarian. One of my children
oh, okay.
is a PhD in microbiology, working in research in Colorado, and another one is in physical therapy. And the youngest one is a chemistry major, so who knows?
They all are in the medical field.
Yeah, at one point.
So they did follow you in some way.
Yeah.
Their genes followed into the same line of work.
And the youngest one has made a comment in passing a time or two. He goes, I don't know, maybe I'll look into dentistry someday. And I said, well, you know, you have to be smart. You have to do good on the DAT. That's a dental admission test. And
right.
And I don't think that's where he's leaning right now, but who knows, you know, because he may not even know. But now I want to tell you that my first office was 450 square feet. And the office that your doc, you refer to him as doc more often than not in the book, his first office was 250 square feet. I don't think people can really have a grasp of how little that is. A bedroom, an average bedroom is, 10 by 12, 120 square feet?
Probably.
And so this gentleman in your book, his office was the size of, say, 2 bedrooms, right? Something
yeah,
like that?
Yeah, it's probably even big, right?
And mine was 450 square feet. You could almost stand in the middle and touch the outside walls with your arms spread. But go ahead, I'm sorry.
That was a time where I could say in the late 60s, 80% of your dentists had 1-chair offices.
Right, and I had 2 chairs, although it was a pretty tight squeeze. It was all I could afford. And I opened in 1980, so I opened about 14 years after your book is placed.
Right.
It is based in Chicago. Skid Row is in Chicago, and you live in Chicago.
Right.
Do you live anywhere near the old Skid Row neighborhood?
Not now. Now we're retired in a suburb of Chicago.
Okay.
But the area in the book is where the University of Illinois is now.
Interesting. I think I've actually been there.
Okay. Well, it's the area, and if you've been to Greektown, it's right a couple blocks down from Greektown.
Okay.
And we're very active at the University of Illinois.
Your husband.
We were walking down the street one day, and we saw this building with a Dominic's that I end the book with and a big high rise. And we walked in the area without being afraid of anything because it's one of the nicest areas in Chicago now.
Wow.
And then we remembered having a dental office there, and that's what started me on the book.
Well, that's neat. That's really neat.
And the last chapter of the book, you know, comes back 40 years later, and the dentist sees how the area has changed.
I know. It's pretty interesting. In fact, I'd be a little curious about the history of how an area like that changes. Who took the first step to build a building or put some new business in? You know, was it a McDonald's, which is historically known for going into areas on the fringe and, you know, building when real estate is cheap, and then the neighborhood gradually comes back? Hey, I just realized we have to go to a break, so don't fall asleep on me. Stay awake.
Okay.
We'll be back in a couple minutes.
Bye.
You're listening to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kavitko here on Sunny 95, and we'll be right back after the break.
Estás escuchando Dentally Speaking con Dr. Kavitko aquí en su sesión favorita, Sunday 95.
Seagull Bags encourages you to take custom to a new level. Located at 3343 North High Street, just south of East North Broadway. They specialize in handmade custom courier bags and backpacks. All of their bags are completely waterproof and built to withstand any nasty condition you can think of. Stop by their shop and design a custom bag from scratch with one of the people that is actually going to build your bag. You choose the size, all the colors, and what pockets you need and where you want them. They also do custom embroidery. They have a full line of bags from tool bags to gigantic backpacks. Their bags are ideal for cyclists, students, or anyone that values quality and customization. Check out their website at seagullbags.com or come visit their Clintonville storefront. Let them make something amazing for you.
Canton City Chinese Restaurant is an established, family-owned and operated Chinese restaurant. You can come and sit down and enjoy the relaxed atmosphere of the Canton City, or if you're on the go or need lunch for your office or dinner for home, call us at 614-261-0262 to order takeout. We have a variety of Cantonese, Hunan, and Sichuan cuisine. You will love the price and be astonished how generous the portions are. Come visit us in our fantastic location at 4330 North High Street, located just south of Henderson in Clintonville. We are open 7 days a week. If you cannot pick from our extensive menu, we would suggest you start with our General Tso chicken. It is the best in the city. When you are craving Chinese food and have tried all the rest, come and order from the best. Canton City Chinese Restaurant in Clintonville. Call us at 614-261-0262 or stop by and see us at 4330 North High Street.
Welcome back to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kavitko. Thank you for joining me today. We are interviewing Charlene Wexler. She has written a book called Murder on Skid Row. It's based in the Chicago area. And before we get back to Charlene, let me just mention that you can email us at drkavitko@dentallyspeaking.com. You can access podcasts of this show and all of the shows that we've done at columbustoday.com. And also at columbustoday.com, the show will replay at 2 p.m. and 8 p.m. every day. And also you can search iTunes under Dentally Speaking or Dr. Kavitko, and that will take you to shows that we've done for the last 2.5 years or so. If you want to follow me on Twitter, you do so by going to www.twitter.com/Dr. Kavitko. That's DrKVitko. And also, remember, if you have questions for Charlene or you have comments, dental questions, whatever, our number is 459-9769. That's 459-WSNY. Our question of the day is, in what town is Murder on Skid Row centered? Is it New York City, Chicago, L.A., or Atlanta? And if you listen to the interview, you're going to hear the answer. The winner wins a copy of Charlene's book. which her publicist will mail to you directly. So feel free to give us a call, 459-9769. All right, so Charlene, thank you for staying with me over the break. And I know it's early there, and you've been up most of the night. I wanted to find out, so you went from mom, wife, dental office bookkeeper working for your husband, to author.
Right.
And tell me about that. How did that come about?
Well, I've always enjoyed writing, and I've pretty much done it for myself or for dental journals, and we're retired now, and I started to write, and I sent some short essays into newspapers and magazines, and to my delight, they were published. So then I started going further and started writing books. I'm working on another book right now.
What's it called?
I haven't exactly. I think it's going to be called Murder Across the Seas.
Oh, okay.
So it's another murder mystery without a dentist, with a grandmother.
Oh, you happen to know one of those, don't you?
I happen to, too. I had a thought while I was listening to your advertisement. You do a wonderful job of advertising dentistry, and in 1960s, we put a very small sign up in a window of a dental office that said open, and we almost lost our license.
You're kidding, because that was considered advertising?
That was considering advertising.
Oh, my goodness, yeah. And it's interesting because it was definitely frowned upon when I went to dental school, and I was probably the one that would have been the least likely voted to ever advertise. And yet, if you've ever done a Google of Dr. Kvitko, you'll see that I'm all over the place now.
Right, right.
And it's because I realized that if you have something different than somebody else, you need to let people know, because there's no other way for them to find out.
Right.
You know? But that, things have definitely changed. Now, when you... So we don't really know why Hollywood and the media do that to dentists, and things like your book do a great service to dentists in general and dentistry, because it shows the public that we're just normal people. And, you know, I didn't grow up as a dentist. I grew up as a kid, a paperboy, a golf caddy, you know, just play the drums. You do all this stuff, and then at some point you say, you know what, I think dentistry's cool. I want to be a dentist. And but people have this perception of dentists that is a little out of kilter, I think.
Most dentists are very artistic. They're very handy with tools.
Yes.
And if you think about it, that's what they're doing. They're working with small tools.
Yes.
And they're designing, especially today with cosmetic dentistry.
Right, right. Yeah, I just did a big case yesterday where I took somebody with an underbite and turned him into a class one, where he has this normal occlusion. And now when he smiles, you can actually see teeth. So it's pretty neat stuff. We really enjoy it.
Right.
Now,
did you read in my book where the crowns had different designs?
Yes, had the jewels in them. Uh-huh.
Right. That was, you know, very big, maybe the start of cosmetic dentistry in a different way.
Very possibly, and it reminded me of a gentleman that I did. I've done a couple different things at our office. If somebody wants gold crowns, we'll give them gold crowns, because the color doesn't matter to us. It's as long as it's a well-designed, good-fitting crown. We're not hurting the tooth. But we don't do the grills where, and I actually had to redo a patient who had gone somewhere else years ago, and somebody ground down his front four teeth just a little bit, and they slapped on this one piece of gold, and all it did was trap food and everything under there.
Right.
Until his teeth were all rotting underneath, and he was in pain, and we completely redid his mouth, and so we've done both ways. We've undone some work that was done maybe, you know, shoddy, I guess, if you will, and then we've also done the work. I have one patient, I did a New York Yankees logo on a crown. Not a front tooth.
Okay.
Not a front tooth.
Coming back.
Not a front tooth, but a back tooth. And he's a big Yankees fan. And when it's on his lower right last tooth, so he has to pull the corner of his mouth back to show people. And his dream was to meet George Steinbrenner someday, which of course he passed away and he'll never get to do. But and he wanted to show him that he was the biggest Yankees fan.
All right.
Now, when it
came
back,
what I was talking about in the late 60s is coming back.
That's
everything
right.
Goes around.
It does. Let's hope that the Skid Row area doesn't return to be the Skid Row area that you wrote about.
Right, right. Unfortunately, there are still many areas like that. They're kind of dispersed now, you know, but it hasn't left in every city. unfortunately.
You're right, and it's funny because I had to have my RV towed the other night, and the gentleman, really nice guy, and we got to talking about teeth. I wished I'd had my my recorder with me. I would have had a nice interview for the show. But anyway, he's talking about, oh, you know, I love you guys. He goes, because dentistry's come a long way, and it's not like it used to be. And he told me the story, and all of us dentists have heard this story. Well, the guy says, just so you know, I'm in pain, but if you hurt me, I'm bigger than you, and I will hit you.
All right.
Hear that story a lot. Anyway, so he goes on to tell me what part of town he lives in, because we're actually driving by his part of town to get to where the RV needed to be towed. And he said, you know that area? And I said, a little bit. He goes, well, you wouldn't survive in that area. I said, I wouldn't. He goes, no, it's a pretty rough part of town. He says, you definitely wouldn't survive. And he was letting me know that if I, had the nerve to even walk through his neighborhood, somebody would probably, beat me up. So I said, do I look like a target? And he goes, well, you just wouldn't survive. I think what he meant was I was a little too clean cut, clearly not from the neighborhood. And there is that sense of if somebody doesn't belong, you just there's this negative attitude towards them. It's like, why are you here, Now, you're a grandmother. You sound like a very sweet person. And yet there's a little bit of rough language in the book. And was that hard to do, or you just don't even worry about it?
Well, you have to write about, a writer has to write about the area, and if the area and your characters and everything, it called for it.
It made sense to me. Don't get me wrong, it made sense, but I'm just wondering, as you're sitting down at your computer typing, did you get a shudder?
I probably, after I wrote it, and I had some comments from people.
Like your kids?
You have to understand, I grew up in the city, and I was probably exposed to some of these characters at different times.
I mean, did any of your grandkids go, Grandma?
They're still too little.
Oh, okay. But
your kids. But I had some neighbors or other people ask me about it. Right. But as a writer, you have to write, if you're writing about an area or a time, you have to make your characters in sync.
Oh, no, I totally understand, and I don't think it was out of place at all. I just picture this sweet woman sitting down at her computer going, oh, my goodness, I've had to write that word. And by the way, for the listeners, it's not prevalent. There's maybe one or two times when there's a word that we don't tend to use very much anymore in normal conversation. Definitely not, is not sprinkled throughout the book. And in that regard, you probably did a good job of making sure that it wasn't offensive to people. And yet you captured the flavor of the day. So if you can hang with us, it's time for us to go to another break. And when we come back, we'll talk a little more. And by the way, we do have a winner of the question of the day. We'll give her name when we return. You're listening to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kavitko here on Sunny 95, and we will be right back.
Experience, artistry, creativity. There are still professions where these words mean something. Studio B Hair Design still believe that practice does make perfect. Whether it's a precision cut, custom color, or something uniquely your own, Studio B can help you find just the right look, all in a comfortable, relaxing atmosphere right in the heart of Clintonville. Let Studio B Hair Design give you the best professional hair care at the best price. And should you need a quick gift idea, why not give a Studio B gift certificate for a birthday, anniversary, or subtle way of telling that special someone your hair needs help? So when looking for a fresh approach to your hair, do what lots of people do in Central Ohio. Trust experience. Trust the professionals at Studio B Hair Design. Studio B Hair Design, 21 Brighton Road, just off High Street in Clintonville. Call for your appointment now, 614-263-8661. 263-8661.
Brighten your life with a smile that shows the professional touch of Dr. Kavitko.
I'm General Dentist Dr. Brian Kavitko. I live my life and practice dentistry by four very important principles: comfort, compassion, respect, and care. They are my guide to providing the very best and most comfortable dental care for you and your family. We want you to feel safe, relaxed, and confident that you are getting the very best care. If you need to correct one tooth or have a total smile makeover, we can help. We provide cosmetic and restorative services including tooth whitening, crowns and bridges, complete and partial dentures, root canals, extractions, and implants. At Dr. Kavitko & Associates, we work hard to earn your trust.
Call to schedule an appointment, 262-9588, or online at drkavitko.com.
Dr. Kavitko and Associates.
Welcome back to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kavitko. Thank you for joining me today. We do have a winner of the Dr. Kavitko Question of the Day contest. And the question was, in what city does Murder on Skid Row take place? The choices were New York City, Chicago, L.A., or Atlanta. And Carol Winkle called in, and she is the winner. She got the correct answer. She's from Buckeye Lake area. And Carol, we will be getting the information to Charlene's publicist, who will be sending this book to you directly, okay? So watch for it. Thank you so much for calling, and for the guest that called right after her that found out, I guess, after the fact that we already had a winner. So so I do appreciate that, and you'll enjoy the book. And by the way, Charlene, where can people find the book, the ones who didn't get to win the free copy?
The book is on all the web. You can order it from any bookstore, and it's on, you can order it online from almost 20 different online places.
Too numerous to
mention. Amazon, Barnes & Noble, okay. Borders.
Okay. And go ahead.
It's in many bookstores in Chicago, now in Ohio. Your bookstore can order it for you.
Okay, so those of us in Ohio will need to ask for it by name.
Right.
Murder on Skid Row by Charlene Wexler. That's how you ask for it, correct?
Correct.
Okay, well that's...
And I do have a website under my name with a lot of different writings I've done.
Okay, and that is, what you're saying is it's charlenewexler.com.
Right.
And Charlene, CharlenewXler.com, CharleneWexler.com. Very good. Now, did you consult your husband? Did you just do this in the middle of the night while he was asleep? I mean, did he have any input into it?
He actually was the one that suggested I write that story.
Oh.
I think he wanted something about dentistry in there. And I did make it into a murder mystery for those that aren't interested in history or dentistry.
Right.
So,
right.
It's, you know, a book for everyone.
And I did not, I couldn't have in a million years guessed the outcome of this book. For those of you that didn't win, anybody, everybody except Carol, who won, you should go to the websites and order this book. It is, I'm trying to think, let's see, I have a copy here. What is it, $10.95 or, no, $10.99 in paperback.
Right.
That's
right.
Not bad. It's definitely worth the money, and I would encourage you to go out and get it. I do have a question for you, though, as a dentist. It seemed like the doc was always doing free dentistry. How did he ever make enough money to even pay his measly rent? I mean, I don't think he ever had a paying client, did he?
actually, he did, because there was a welfare system then.
Okay.
Where you sent...
You mean that actually paid you enough to pay your bills?
They actually paid you. That's why so many dentists were in areas like that in the late 60s.
Oh, okay.
Because the government decided those areas needed dentists.
Okay.
And they started paying customary fees.
Oh, okay.
In those areas. So actually, he would send his paperwork into the government.
Oh, okay. Well,
and
that's good to know.
And he would be paid.
Yeah.
It was a welfare system.
Because today the welfare system literally pays you maybe 10% of what you would have needed to collect to actually pay the bills and stay open. And so it's really
in
hard.
The late 60s, they started paying probably for another 15 years. They paid customary fees.
Okay, and that would take you right up to when I opened, and I did a procedure for a welfare patient, and my bill was something like $126 for a couple fillings, x-ray, whatever I did, and it took them 6 months to get me a check. They sent me $6, and that's all I was allowed to collect.
Okay.
Hence the reason I don't do welfare care anymore. You just can't afford it. I don't know. And I'm hoping to have, I've invited our gubernatorial candidates to be on the show to talk a little bit about that with me, and we'll see if they come on board. Hey, Charlene, we do have to go. The show has come to an end. I really appreciate both you coming on the show and writing the book in the first place, because it's a great book. It does show dentistry in a normal way, and I definitely appreciate that. And so thank you for getting up, being on the show, and good luck with your new book. And everybody remember, it's charlenewexler.com, and go to any one of the bookstores and ask for it by name, Murder on Skid Row. Thank you so much, Charlene.
Thank you also for inviting me. I've enjoyed the interview.
Have a great day.
Hi.
You've been listening to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko, and we'll be right back next Sunday at 7.
If you're interested in learning more about this and other dental health topics, go to columbustoday.com, keyword Dentally Speaking, to access full half-hour episodes of Dr. Kvitko's shows.
If you would like to book Dr. Kvitko to speak at your next event, please call 614-262-9588. That's 614-262-9588. Or send an email to drkvitko@dentallyspeaking.com. That's drkvitko@dentallyspeaking.com.